Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 2. The title of our sermon today is, Where is He? Where is He? But let me read to you from the book of 2 Chronicles. And he, that being Rehoboam, third king of Israel, did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And what we know about the wise men, and we will of course mention this, we don't know if there were 2 or 102, but the wise men prepared to seek the Lord. The book of Hebrews 11:5, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We seek him by reading the word of God. We seek him when we attend the house of God. We seek him when we pray. And I do hope that you have diligently sought the Lord. But if you would, let us stand as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 9. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we've been able to read. And Lord, we read of Rehoboam who did not seek thee, and you were displeased. And yet you are pleased when we do seek thee. Help us, Lord, to realize that wise men still seek thee. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we will continue to read from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin reading once again where we ended at verse 9. Matthew 2, verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May I say this as kind of an introduction? Not everybody that was in that caravan from the east traveling west wanted to be there. Not everybody that was in that caravan really thought that the mission would be successful. I mean, after all, they were traveling many miles and they were looking for a young child. Not everybody cared. Some people just simply had a job and they went along. And may I say this, that when they got to the house where Jesus was with Mary, not everybody went in and worshiped. And we could say the very same thing about people as they gather together on a Sunday morning. Not everybody cares. There are some that wish they were elsewhere. And not everyone that's here this morning has come to worship. But we find that these men came with a purpose and asked the question, where is he? Some thoughts by the late Roger Campbell. Let me get the right guy. I don't want Roger Green to be dead yet. Roger Campbell. The wise men who came from the east to worship Jesus are the most mysterious of all the characters of the Christmas story. Now, I don't consider Santa Claus part of the Christmas story. Or Frosty the Snowman. These are the world's adaptation to the holiday. But may I say this, of the biblical people who are in the story, we would have to say that these men are very mysterious. We don't know how many there were in the company of seekers. We know there had to be at least two because they were wise men. But there could have been 150. All we know is they brought three gifts. Three gifts that represent the fact that Jesus Christ would be prophet, priest, and king. And they came with this desire to give gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Bible simply says there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now, obviously, because we're doing this part of the Christmas story today, you realize that I don't believe the wise men were at the nativity scene. That they were not with the shepherds, that the star did not shine over where Christ was born. But we'll talk about that star in just a little bit. But where is he? No one knows exactly when the wise men began their journey. Some think it may have been as long as 2 years before his arrival in Jerusalem. How many of you have ever heard this theory that the star appeared at the time of the conception? That when Mary became pregnant is when the star was in the sky. None of you have ever heard that? Now you have. It's a theory. How long did these men travel? Some say up to 2 years, and that's because of what we read about here, that Herod diligently asked these men, when did the star appear? And as we read over in verse 16, that all the children 2 years and under were slaughtered. See, that first Christmas was not necessarily a great time of joy, was it? Mary had been probably cast out because she was pregnant before Mary and Joseph had come together. They had traveled a long distance. We find that now there is the slaughter of these innocents, as some have called them. But where did these mysterious men come from? Nobody's for sure. But perhaps the most interesting theory is that they came from the ancient Babylonian Empire, now Iraq, that they were Jewish scribes, that they were those who would have been interested in a coming Messiah. They had read about his star. They had read about different things about him. And it is believed that when the star came, now, many of you don't go out at night and look at the stars. Correct? In fact, when was the last time that you went out purposely to look at the stars? Some of you did recently? Very good. I am glad that you did that. May I say this, that if you want to see the stars, go to some place that is really, really what? Dark. That doesn't mean the Detroit area. I have been to places out west where they have a lot more stars than what we have. I mean, it's amazing the millions, yea, billions of stars that are out there. Of course, the evolutionists would say, well, they just happened. No, God created them. and he knows them personally. What the Bible indicates is that the wise men arrived late for Christmas. Jesus is born. The shepherds have found him. They find him wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And now these men come and find him at a house. And he's not a babe. He is what? He is a young child. How old is he? 5 months? 6 months? A year? A year and a half? 2. Now you say, Pastor Paul, are you so dogmatic on this that you would split hairs over it? No. But I think sometimes we have taken certain stories and we've blended them together when really they shouldn't have been blended together. There was a reason the wise men arrived when they did, and that is so they could give the family gold so they could escape to Egypt to escape Herod. And the gold would help them travel. But as we continue our lesson, often the nativity scene portrays the wise men there. But as we read in verses 10 and 11, or as we read, we find that they've come to a house and there they have entered in. And may I say quickly that they worshiped who? Jesus. Did they worship Mary? No. Mary was simply a young woman used of the Lord. She was not specially created. She was not sinless. We find that she gave a sin offering after the birth of Christ. She was simply one that was usable, just as all of us should be usable. All of us should want and desire to be used of the Lord. When they reached Jerusalem, assuming the king that they had come to worship would be found there, they stopped following the star and headed for the palace of King Herod. May I say this, when we take our eyes off the Lord, we get into trouble. When we begin to think from it as a humanistic point of view, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. First, they asked, where is he, the Messiah? I think they thought everybody would have known. Doesn't it make sense that they all would have known? The star was there and they saw stars and here was a new star and that would have created excitement and they would have had the Old Testament and they would have had the Pentateuch. They should have all been looking for this one. Second, they told them that they had come to worship the Messiah. They'd come to worship the king. Well, who was the king? Herod. Herod had been king for quite a while. Herod was a brute of a man. He had even had some of his sons executed because he thought they were trying to overthrow him. That's the type of man he was. We find third, their arrival and announcements troubled Herod in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how the news got out because I'm sure that they didn't read it in CNN. But, no, wait. They wouldn't have read it in USA Today or heard it on CNN. I have to get that correct, don't I? Yes. They would not have heard it or read it that way. They would have heard it by word of mouth. Now, you have to understand that large caravans coming into the city of Jerusalem probably was relatively common. That they came bearing things from the Orient, or they came bearing things from Western Europe, or they came from Egypt and Ethiopia, or they came from other areas, and here comes yet another caravan. And there are people there that are dressed very nicely, and we're not told how big the caravan was, but they come into Jerusalem and they have a quest to find a young child. Thus they are interrogated. King Herod invites them in and questions them and wants to know why they're there. And what's this all about? What do you mean there's a child you've come to worship? He's later going to lie. He's going to say, you go find him and come back and tell me where he is. We know he was lying, right? My wife doesn't like it when I say this. Plug your ears. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Wouldn't that be amazing how many of us, while we're singing songs, our pants would light on fire? There goes another one. Get the fire extinguisher. Yes. Now, can you believe this? A politician would lie. Yet King Herod is lying. He's lying. Fifth, they were told by Herod's advisors that according to the scriptures, the king they were seeking was to be born in Bethlehem. So I asked the question, if they knew of the prophecy in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, of this star, why didn't they know of the prophecy concerning Bethlehem as the birthplace, as found in Micah, chapter 5, verse 2? But notice verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Heeding the biblical advice, the wise men once again followed the star to the village of Bethlehem, about a half dozen miles away from Jerusalem. Now, for most of us, we would probably want to spend the night in Jerusalem and eat at the nice restaurant there before going over to the village. But I think they decided, hey, we've traveled this far, we're not waiting any longer. And they went out and they saw the star and away they went. Now, how would you like to take a 6 mile hike at night? Because it had to be at night, right? Because what was shining? The star. Unless this star was really something and shone during the day, which I don't think so. They were going at night. Most of us, you know, it gets to a certain point at night and we want to sit down in an easy chair, put it back and maybe read the newspaper or read your daily texts. What, isn't that what some of you do? Nobody's admitting. Or I'll watch, you know, a TV program or something. We want to relax. They wanted to go see the king. They wanted to go worship. The delay was due to their concept of kingly protocol. I mean, if you're looking for a king, where do you look for him? At the palace. At the palace. And so they had gone to the palace. You know, there are many customs and traditions that have developed over time that are part of the celebrating of Christmas. Now, I presume that most of you realize that half the Christmas decorations are out of the auditorium. Dennis came over and did that. He did it. Pastor Stephen helped him. And when will the rest come down? This week. You know it's going to look so bare in here, isn't it? Yeah, the wreaths will be gone from up there. And we won't turn the lights on the trees anymore. And it's part of the holiday celebration to decorate. I noticed over the last few days that there have been Christmas trees out by the road. Two kinds. Those that have been cut down. And have any of you seen a box that's been long and maybe wrapped? I saw one in our subdivision. It said free 7-foot Christmas tree on the side. I presume someone said, that's enough for you, buddy, and we're getting a new one. I don't know. But what we know is this. Is that we decorate for the holiday season. And I must admit, I'm not ready to take my trees down. They're kind of pretty. I don't worship the trees, but I think they are reminders of our life together. We have family gatherings, great food. We have the giving and receiving of gifts. Singing of carols. Anybody have anybody caroling at your house this year? Nobody? I didn't either. How come you didn't come to my house and carol? That would have been nice, right? You think people just don't have the time to do that anymore? I mean, obviously it wasn't, well, maybe it was too cold. I don't know. But it's part of the celebration. And yet many times we are so caught up in the outward things of Christmas that we forget what Christmas is really all about. It's the birth of a king, the king of our lives, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Roger Campbell says, wise ones get past the toys and the tinsel to the one whose birthday we celebrate. All too many miss the true meaning of Christmas. One of the holiday things is the sending of cards. And as you know, we had a place down in the other building where you could put a Christmas card to your church family. And Dennis and Sharon's card had this thought by Holly Girth. It said, "The first wise men gave Christ treasures from their kingdoms. Today's wise men give Christ the treasures of their hearts." We should want to give to the King, right? Who is our King? Do you think it's important that we know who our King is? Now, we have a president. We have a governor. When does she become our governor? Did she already become? So we have a new governor, but we have a spiritual King. Are there going to be times in which when our spiritual King clashes with our government? Sometimes. And it can lead to some discomfort. But we're to follow our spiritual King. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Why did Jesus Christ come to earth in the first place? Was it so that we could give gifts one to another? No. He came to die. He shed his blood so that he could save people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." In just a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper. And when we do that, we are remembering why he came, that he came to die for you and for me. Shall we stand together? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we would love to be able to show you from the Word of God what you must do. And maybe you'd just like to come to the altar and pray and thank God for all that he has done for us. We'll sing a song of invitation, number 17, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Are we willing to let him have his way in our lives? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time together, this invitation time, Lord, may the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. May your name be honored and glorified. And we ask that in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving, amen.